Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf Ches. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Herbert Coulter, Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Yeshua HaKohen, and also Helen Herman Rupp, Modja Bas Mendel. All the Nishmas we learned for 7 Aliyah from our learning. We begin the Gemara in Ksubos by the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Zayin Omud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah tells us, this is the second in the two machlokas that we have between Hanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. And this Mishnah tells us, if a man goes off on a business trip overseas, Misholach B'dinas Hayam, V'omad Echad U'pirnis Ishto, as opposed to the first Mishnah, where the woman demanded to be entitled to go and be given mizonos, here somebody steps in, a good Samaritan steps in, and provides her with parnos. So he goes and supports her. So Chanan Omer, Chanan tells us, so Ibiris Moso, that person may be a very nice guy, but he ain't getting his money back. The husband of this woman who he supported does not have to go and give him back the money that he laid out to support that woman. Mishnah will explain in a moment, is he lost his money. He had no obligation to do so. He wasn't doing this as part of a commitment to the husband. He did it out of the niceness of his own heart. So while he may have done a nice mitzvah, he's not going to be able to get repaid from the husband if the husband doesn't wish to give him back the money. So that's what Chanan tells us. He lost his money. However, the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, they disagree. The Chachamim, they disagree. When they say Yeshava, the person just has to swear kamahotzi, how much he outlaid for the support for that woman, and then he's entitled to go collect it back from her husband. And Omar Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinus Kidivreim. Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinus says, yeah, the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim are correct. However, Omar Yochum Zakai, no, I disagree. Yofe Omar Chanan, I say Chanan is right, because this is no different than Hiniach Ma'osav al Keren HaTzvi. This man who did a very nice thing, he paid for the woman's support, but it's no different than he put his money on the horns of a deer, and the deer runs away. So this person may have been a very nice guy, but he has no legal recourse to go get his money back. Rashi explains in Dibra Maslo Chonon Omer Ibeides Maosav Shlo Omarti Lucha Haveni Vani Apara. The husband didn't say, "Listen, lend me the money and I will pay you back." But Avolim Hilva Esaisha Mos Lzanosel. But if he lent the woman money, in that situation, the woman now is in fact obligated to pay him back the money. And in this situation, Almanasha says Chalimlo, she has to pay him back the money. So who Tova, he can go and claim the money from her. The he Tova Sabal, and then she can go claim that Mazonos money from her husband, and he would then have to pay her, Bishalim. And Kidomer Leel, Bimamenes Velovsa Viochl Vyomda, as we learned in yesterday's shir, that if the young child who was married only the Rabbanon left through Miyun, then she's not entitled to get the Mizonos. But if in fact she did not do Miyun, so then she's entitled to get the Mizonos from her husband, and the husband has to go and pay it. So this is the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah in the Darim, the Mishnah there tells us, Hamuder Hanoah Mechaveru, if Ruvain asks Shimon to get any Hanoah from him, from himself, from his property, Shimon is not allowed to get any Hanoah from Ruvain. Why he did this? I don't know. He did it. In any event, in this situation, we turn to Kuf Ches Omid Aleph. Even though Shimon is forbidden to get Hanoah from Ruvain, Ruvain is allowed to go pay his Machzis HaShekel for him. Shokel Lo Es Shiklo. Every person in Klai Yisrael above a certain age is obligated to go pay the Machzis HaShekel money to be included for all the Korbanos of Klai Yisrael that are given that year from the public funds, communal Korbanos, and other things as well. So this obligation of Machzis HaShekel, Ruvain could pay that money for Shimon. Even though Shimon is forbidden to get any benefit from Ruvain, this is not considered getting direct benefit. The Gemara will explain why in a minute. Likewise, Ruvain would be allowed to go and pay back a debt that Shimon owes to somebody, Uporeya es Chovo. He can go pay off an IOU that Shimon owes to somebody else, and that's also not considered, according to this Mishnah in the Darim, as Ruvain having benefited Shimon. And we'll explain in a moment, this goes according to the opinion of Chanan. And the third thing that this Mishnah tells us is umachzir lo avedoso, that if Ruvain finds an aved of Shimon, he's allowed to go and return it to him. That's because he's doing a mitzvah. However, the Mishnah in the Darim adds ubemakum shenot l'nschar, in a situation where a person is entitled to go and get paid to help him be mizaris to do the mitzvah shavas aveda, so they instituted a certain reward. And Rashi explains we're talking here where not only did Ruvain ask Shimon to get an offer from him, but Shimon also was also to get an offer from Ruvain. So in this situation, the money that would be owed to Ruvain for returning Shimon's aveda, tipol hanor lehekdish, since Ruvain can't get it because he would be benefiting from Shimon, and Shimon can't not pay it because then he would be benefiting from Reuven. So in this situation, that money that would be going to the person who returned the Aveda instead goes to Hekdesh. Okay, that's the Mishnah in the Dharm. We're not interested in the last part. We're interested in the first three statements over here. Shokelo Ashiklo, Perei Eschovo, and Masilo Avidoso. So Gemara says, Bishlomo Shokelo Ashiklo. We understand why Reuven can go pay the Masis Ashekel for Shimon. It's because Mitzvah Kovit. The bottom line, he's doing a Mitzvah, as the Mishnah tells us. Now, we have the Tanan. It says it's a Mishnah, but the Mesoros HaShas Osal says the Tanya. This is really a Brisa. And you can see that he says that this is the way Tosus is Goris is above the Mitzvah as well. And it says really in this Brisa, Tormim al ha'ovud, that the Beis Din, when they take out the Trumas Halishka, Tormim means here the Trumas Halishka, they take out the three times during the year, they take out the funds that were contributed from the Matzah Tashekel for that fiscal year, and they take it out to purchase their Korbanos Tzibur, so that money that they take out goes for people who had collected their Matzah Tashekel, but it got lost on the way and never actually reached into the coffers of the treasury. Nevertheless, the people that donated that, they're included in the Trumas Halishka. Likewise, Valhagovui, money that was collected but hasn't yet gotten into the Trumas Halishka. So they're also included. All the people are included as long as they had intention or tried to give the Matzah Tashekel money and didn't intentionally say, I'm not giving the Matzah Tashekel money. So they're included in the communal offerings and they get credit for being part of them, even though they actually physically didn't give their money. Either it was lost, Tarmin Allah Ovud, or Valagovi was collected but hadn't yet gotten to the Trumas Halishka. And as well, Biala Osid Legavos, even people that said, yes, I'm going to pay next month, I'm going to pay soon. And they do intend to pay and they eventually do pay. So then in that situation, they're also included in the funds that are taken out in the Trumas Halishka, even though they haven't yet contributed anything. And now we see that, therefore, when Reuven paid the Matzah Tashekel on Shimon's behalf, he really wasn't helping Shimon out. He didn't do a favor for Shimon, because Shimon would be included anyway in the Matzah Tashekel, since he would have eventually have given the Matzah Tashekel. So therefore, Reuven didn't technically do anything for Shimon, and therefore, in this situation, it is not considered that he's getting Hanor from Reuven. And even though Shimon's not allowed to get Hanor from Reuven, this is not considered getting Hanor from Reuven. Okay, that's the first part, Shokelo or Shiklo. The last part, the Machzir Lo Avidoso, is also very simple. Machzir Lo Avidoso Nami, that's easy to understand. Why? Because Mitzvah Kovid. When you do Hashavas Aveda, you're doing a Mitzvah. So therefore, he's not getting, quote, Hanor from me. I'm doing a Mitzvah. And therefore, it's not a fact that Reuven is doing Hanor for Shimon, Reuven is doing a mitzvah. So in both Shokelo Ashiklo and Masalo Avidoso, Reuven is simply performing a mitzvah, and albeit we could argue that Shimon is somehow getting benefit from that, that's not the primary intention. The intention is for Reuven to do the mitzvah, and therefore it's not considered that Shimon is getting Hanor from Reuven. Okay, now, the middle statement is problematic, that Reuven is allowed to pay off the debt of Shimon, Perei Eschovo. Now, in that situation, El Perel or Eschovo, Ha Komishtar Shile, he is in fact benefiting him. As Rashi says, Komishtar Shile Marvicho, he is helping Shimon. Shimon doesn't have to pay the $100 IOU debt that he had. So in this situation, why are you saying that Reuven is allowed to do this? He's benefiting him. So we have two terutzim. First one's from Rav Oshaya. I'm Rav Oshaya, Hamani, Hanani. Our Mishnah is the opinion of Hanan that said that when this man, this good Samaritan, went off and gave mizonos to the woman, he doesn't have the right to go back to the husband. It's like he put the money on the horns of a deer. And therefore, this is only going in accord with the opinion of Hanan. The Omar, Ibed es Moasov, that he lost his money. So too over here, this guy paid off his debt. Shimon can say, thank you very much for paying off my debt, but I didn't ask you to. And therefore, I don't have to pay you back. So therefore, you did a very nice thing. Maybe you'll get some sort of credit in Shemayim for being a nice guy, but I don't have to go pay you back. So therefore, Rav Oshaya says that this Brisa only goes in accord with Chanon. It doesn't go in accord with the Bnei Kohan Gedolim, with the Chachamim opinion. Ah, very simple. Teretz, that's Rav Oshaya's Teretz, that this is Das Yochid, this Brisa. Rava wants to say, however, Rava Amar Afil Tem Rabban. No, that this Brisa, we don't have to lock into being a Das Yochid. Only Chanan's opinion, but this could even go like the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, like the Chachamim. Afil Tem Rabban. Why is that? Because Hacha, in this Brisa, you know what we were dealing with? Hacha b'mayaskinon shalovo alminas shalo lefroa. This IOU that Shimon had to Levi was a note of indebtedness that didn't have a time limit to it. So Levi lends Shimon $100 and he said, you can pay me back whenever. And therefore, technically, Shimon never has to pay him back. Now, since Shimon doesn't have to pay him back, when Reuven goes and pays that back, so in this situation, Rabbi says it's not directly benefiting him. And even the Chachamim, even the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, that say that this man who was very nice and supported the wife can go to the husband and say, hey, I supported your wife, now pay me back. Even though in that situation, the Chachamim say, the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim say that the husband would have to pay him back. In this situation, he wouldn't, because after all, Shimon gained nothing over here, because Shimon didn't have to pay Levi back. It was an open-ended note. It never had a due date, and therefore, technically, if Shimon never paid him back, he was okay. So when Reuven now goes and pays off Shimon's debt, he's technically not being marviach to Shimon. So that's the opinion of Rava. Now, we understand Bishlomo Rava lo amar k'Rav Hoshaya. Rava didn't want to give the teretz of Rav Hoshaya because that would lock it into being a das yochid, and therefore he preferred to say his answer, which is that it goes according to everybody, even the Chachamim, the Mokum Loka Rabbanim. So we understand that very well. However, why didn't Rav Hoshaya like Rava's pshat? Ela Rav Hoshaya, my taima lo amar k'Rava. Why didn't Rav Hoshaya say, like Rava said, that this was talking about a debt, shalom amana shalom lefroa? So Rav Hoshaya says, I didn't like it for the following reason. Amalach Rav Hoshaya, nu, nihi, dahano, leslay. Technically, Shimon didn't get direct tana because Shimon didn't gain $100, because even though the debt was $100, Shimon technically could never pay it back if he wished to and be okay. So technically, he's not being marviach, nihi, dahano, leslay, but we turn to kuf cheso mebeis. However, kisufa mi leslay. However, he certainly would be embarrassed. Every time Shimon runs into Levi, he's going to say, oh, yeah, I owe him $100. Oh, I owe him $100. So therefore, that kisufa is no longer there. And that is the benefit that he, in fact, gets. And that's why Rav Hoshaya didn't want to say this. He says, how can you say that he's not benefiting Shimon? He's benefiting from the fact that he won't be embarrassed. Now, the next words, some are not goris over here because they seem to be duplicative. So, if you just read it straight like I just did, so then it's duplicative and some aren't goris. However, if you look in the Bach, and as well you look in the Rundberg, they both are goris over here, lishna achrina. There's an alternate way to learn this, and that is our Gemara. Hosam nami Islay Hano Bahi Hano de Mirsaf Mine. And the Rundberg in Osalaf over here explains this as follows, that this is technically two different answers over here. This Lishna Achrin is the second answer. And according to what's the Nafgamina between these two answers? So if you go down into the Rundberg about 6-7 lines, he says there's a difference between the two Lashonos. The first one and the Lishna Achrina is that the Lishna Kama, according to the first Lashon, it's not considered Lo Choshev Hanoah Gemur. It's not considered a full Hanoah in this situation. And therefore, it's different than the Lishna Achrina, the second Lashon, Lishna Basra, where he holds Af Kisufa Choshev Hanoah. The Kisufa is definitely considered a Vadai Hanoah. So therefore, there's a slight difference between the first way we learn it and the Lishna Achrina. Okay. In any event, that concludes the two machlokas in this perek that we had between Chanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. And as we said in the first Mishnah, we're now going to have seven machlokas in between Admon and the Chachamim. So the next Mishnah starts off. Each Mishnah will, in this next series of Mishnahs, will give us one of these machlokas. And so the Mishnah starts off and tells us Admon o Meshiva. Admon is going to say seven things which the Chachamim disagree with. And the first one is as follows: Misha Meis Rachman Lusan, if somebody died, Viniach Bonim Ubanos, and he leaves Baruch Hashem, he leaves sons and he leaves daughters. So the halacha midaraisa is only the sons inherit, the daughters don't inherit. However, the rabbis came along and were masakin that the daughters shouldn't go without support, so they were masakin that the estate, in other words the sons, have to go and support their sisters. So bisman shen nechasim merubim, if there's a lot of estate present, so then the din is midaraisa, the sons inherit, and the rabbi said that the estate, the sons, have to go and support the daughters. Habanim yorshim, the sons will inherit the entire estate. However, habanim nizonos, the daughters will be inherited, will be supported in a certain way through the inheritance that the sons have, and that we discussed elsewhere, how much support that they get. It's 10% of the estate up to the time when they become bogeris, or until they get married. So again, there are various dinim about this that we've learned beforehand. But the din is, when there's a large estate, nechasim merubim, so then the sons do inherit 100%, but they're required to support the daughters. However, the rabbis were masakein ubin nechasim muwatim, if it's a very small estate, defined as Rashi brings down, that it doesn't support them for 12-month period of time. So this is a relatively small estate. So then in this situation, the rabbis of the Sakin, that we bypass the dinim d'oraisa, and we give the habanos izona, we support the daughters from the estate, and we make the sons go and beg door to door. V'habanim yachzru ala psachu. Because it's much more difficult for the daughters to go back door to door. So therefore, for covered Bas Yisrael, so they gave the daughters the little bit of food that the estate has to be supported, and the sons will go out and beg. So that's what the Tanakhama over here says. However, Admon disagrees. Admon Omer, Bishoshani Zohar, Ifsadeti, because I'm a male child, I should lose out. Midaraisa, I'm entitled to it. So I should lose out because I'm a male child, and I should have to go beg on the doors, and my sisters, they should go and get the mizonos. And Taka, Amar Gamliel. Gamliel says, Roani is the Riabim. I Taka see, Admon has a very good point. Now, the simple way to understand this is that Admon disagrees with the Tanakhama and says that, no, this din doesn't apply. However, there's a very interesting explanation given in the bottom third of the first Tosos, Admon Omer, receiver Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says, the Hainu Taimo de Admon, this is what Admon is really saying, Lavli Fluge Amilso de Chachamim Osa. He's not really arguing with the opinion of the Chachamim. Admon isn't saying, yeah, let the daughters go and have nothing from this meager estate, give it all to the sons, and we don't worry about the covet of Bas Yisrael, and the daughters will just go out and beg, and that's that. No, Admon agrees with that. However, Ella Misma Bi'alma, he's just surprised. He's expressing wonderment over here. Who? And Rabbi Galil Nami. And Rabbi Galil, when he says, Itaka, Roa Ani is Divri Admon, I see what Admon is saying. He's also expressing that same wonderment. Roa Ani is Divri Admon, Lad Mishum Psakdin. Not because he's disagreeing with the din that the rabbis were Masakin over here, that when it's Nechosim Uwatim, that the daughter should be his own, Abonim Yasu Al Hapsachim, but Ella Mishum Shiesh Vaday Lismo. He says this is a puzzling thing. It's a surprising thing that the rabbis did. I don't disagree with it, but it's just a surprising thing that we bypass the laws of Daraisa inheritance in order that the daughters shouldn't be embarrassed and have to go about in a non-sneistic way, in a potentially dangerous way, going door to door begging for mizonos. We'd rather have the sons do that and not the daughters. So the Rabbeinu Tam has a very interesting way of explaining the machlokas between Admon and the Tanakhama. In any event, that is the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, my Kama, what exactly was Admon saying? When he says, because I'm a son, I should lose out on the inheritance? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hachikoma, this is what Admon was saying. What is the purpose of a boy? The purpose of a boy is to go learn Torah. So he says, because I'm a male and I have the obligation to learn Torah, I should lose out over here and I shouldn't go learn Torah, I should go out and beg. So the Gemara says, Abaye says this teretz, but Rava doesn't like it. Amalei Rava says that can't be what Admon said, because that would imply that if there were two sons that were inheriting a state, and one was a Talmud Chacham and one was not, so then Manda Osik B'Torah Hu D'Yaris, Manda Lo Osik B'Torah Lo Yaris, that would imply that only Talmidei Chachamim children inherit, but a non-Talmud Chacham child doesn't inherit from the father. No, the laws of inheritance are the same, except assuming somebody's a Bechar, there's a Pishnayim. But let's say you have two sons over here. Reuven's not in the picture, or the oldest child is a girl, so there's no Bechar, and Shimon and Levi, they each inherit equally, 50-50 in the state, even though Shimon is the biggest Gadol HaDor, and Levi is a Stam Pasha Yid, he has no Torah knowledge. In this situation, Rabbi says, what, we divide up the inheritance differently? So that which Abaye said, Bishushani Zoch of the royal Asuk B'Torah of Sadati, doesn't make any sense. And therefore, Rabbi says, this is what Admon was saying. El Omer Rav HaHochikom, this is what Admon was really telling us. Bishushani Zoch of the royal level should inherit everything. And that's in fact the din. Even the Chachamim say, "B'chasim uvatim," that I inherit everything. So why should I lose over here if sadati b'chasim uvatim? Why should I lose out if there's only b'chasim uvatim? Why should I lose out even if there's only a little bit of an estate? I would be entitled to the rights to go get it. So that's really what Adam is saying. And again, I think the explanation of Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, is beautiful, that he's not arguing with his din. He's just saying it's an amazing din that the rabbis did. He's surprised at it somewhat. He's expressing astonishment at this din, but he's not disagreeing with the din. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah, which is the second one of the seven machlokas in between Admon and the Chachamim. So Hatoin is Chaver Kadesh Shemen. Reuven is claiming from Shimon, hey, you owe me Kadesh Shemen. Kadesh Shemen means jugs of oil. V'hode b'kankanim. And Shimon says, yes, I owe you kankanim. Now, here we're assuming that the kad and the kankan are the same thing. We're assuming that they're synonyms and that they essentially mean the same thing. So Reuven is saying to Shimon, you owe me jugs of oil. And Shimon is saying, I only owe you jugs, but I don't owe you any oil. So in this situation, is this what's called a mode b'miksas and yechayv v'shvua na? There's a din d'oraisa, a shvua mode b'miksas, that if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100, and Shimon says, listen, I did borrow $100 from you, but I paid you back $50, and I only owe you $50. So then Shimon is on a d'oraisa level, chayv to give a shvua to Reuven that I don't owe you more than the $50 that I'm admitting to. The other $50, which I claim that I paid, I have to make a shvua that I in fact paid it to you, or if he had said that, no, it wasn't a $100 loan, it was a $50 loan. So in this situation, there's a din d'oraisa of a mode b'miksas shvua. So the question is, and that's what Admon and the Chacham are going to be arguing about, when a person says, you owe me jugs of oil, and he says, no, I only owe you jugs, is that called mode b'miksas or not? So Admon omer, ho of a hode b'miksas, ta'ino, Admon says, yeah, you're admitting to the jugs as part of the jugs of oil. So therefore, hold of mixes a tiny, you're admitting to part of it, so it's no different than admitting to 50 of the $100. And therefore, yeshava, you have to do a shua derais of modu mixas. Whereas the Chacham disagree. The Chacham omrim, no. In this situation, ein ho doas mixas mimin ha-taina. It's not from the same taina. So this is as if there was jugs and there was oil. And he says, yeah, I owe you jugs. Okay, I'll pay you the jugs. But oil, I don't owe you any oil. This is if Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me $100. And Shimon says, no, I don't owe you anything. So he doesn't have to make a shvua. Unless Reuven has edim, Shimon can walk away scot-free, at least on a deraisa level. Midrabanan, there is a shvua's hesis that he has to make. But on a deraisa level, he wouldn't have to make any sort of a shvua because he wasn't modu b'miksas. So Admon and the Chachamim are arguing when jugs of oil and he admits to jugs, is that called moda b'miksas ataina or not? So the Chachamim say, ain't no dog mixes mina taina. This part over here, the jugs, is not considered mixes ataina because there's two separate things over here, jugs and oil. Whereas Admon said, no, it's jugs of oil and therefore it's moda b'miksas ataina and he has to make a shvua. And along comes Rabban Gamliel again, Omar Rabban Gamliel, and he says, Rani is the Admon. Yeah, I think Admon sounds very good. Why would jugs of oil not be considered like $50 of the $100? It seems to be part of the tiny's modu mixes a tiny. Mor starts off and says, Shmami no Rabban, and we see based upon the Chachamah's opinion over here that it's not considered mixes a tiny. So if in fact the following scenario occurred, Ta'anu chitim usorim, Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me chitin and so you owe me wheat and you owe me barley. And Shimon says, yeah, I owe you barley, but I don't owe you any wheat. So based upon our Mishnah, the Chachamim would say that this is identical to the case of wheat and barley. The jugs and the oil are two separate things. So he admits over here to the barley, so he has to pay him back the barley. But the wheat isn't considered a mixas hataina, and he doesn't have to make a shua on the wheat. But he doesn't have to make the shua. So this is what we can learn from our Mishnah. Shmamina according to Rabbanan, the chitin and sarin is like the jugs and the oil, and it's two separate items according to the Chachamim. And therefore, leima tevi tiyufta the Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. This should be going against what the Amorayim, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, said, that the Amor Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, ta'anu chitin usa'arin, v'hod de lo bi'echa b'yem chayim. Whereas Rav Nachman said over the name of Shmuel that if Reuven said to Shimon, you owe me wheat and you owe me barley, and Shimon said, no, I only owe you one of them, so then he will be chayv modu b'miksas taina, a shvua modu b'miksas. So that seems to go against what we just learned in our Mishnah. How can an Amora go against what we learned beferish in our Mishnah? Some of you that were, it's not a problem. You know why? Because b'toa no mida. Our Mishnah is not talking about jugs and oil. It just was saying a certain measure, a certain mida, jugs of oil. A jug had a certain amount in it. It was a quart, let's say. So, yeah, you owe me 10 quarts of oil. But lav dafka, you owe me the jugs. And therefore, it's not considered modu b'miksas according to the Chachamim. But you can't tell me, in the case of chitin and sarin, that wouldn't be modu b'miksas a taina. But the Gemara questions this and says, if Rabbi Yehuda Amarav is correct, that he said jugs of oil, it would mean just a certain measure of oil, so then why in the world would Admon say that that's a mixas ataina? Ihachi, my time of the Admon. So what mixas ataina is there over here? If there's no jugs, so then what are we talking about? So you're right, the Gemara says, that can't be the way to understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's interpretation cannot be correct. El Amarava, Rava says, this is the way to understand it. In fact, there is no machlokas between Admon and the Chacham in the following two scenarios. The Kuli Amalo Pligi, they don't argue, Hechad Amar Le, where Reuven said to Shimon, Melo Asara Kadeshemen Yeshli Bibarcha. Reuven says to Shimon, I have the amount of 10 kadesh shemen in your pit, and therefore, in that situation, it's only the oil that I'm saying. It's the malo asara kadesh, the amount of 10 kadesh of yain, shemen kotoin le. I'm saying that I have in your pit, and he doesn't mention anything about kankanim, kankanim lo toin le, kotoin le. So therefore, in this situation, there is no mode to be mixed us here at all. And likewise, if he were to say, Asara Kadeshemen Milein Yeshli Etzecha, and if he was saying, I have 10 jugs that are full of oil, but he's saying, I have the 10 jugs, not the amount of 10 jugs, I have Asara Kadeshemen that are Milein with oil, so Yeshli Etzecha, that would certainly be a case of modu b'mitzvahs if he agreed to the drugs and not to the oil or vice versa. Because shemen v'kankanim kotoin le, and therefore it's one and the same. If you're modu to only part of it, that's a modu b'mitzvahs. So Admon and the Chachamim don't argue about either of these two cases, where it just was oil, so that's not a modu b'mitzvahs case. And here it's definitely a modu b'mitzvahs case when he says jugs that are filled with oil. So where do Admon and the Chacham have the machlokes? Ki pligi, they're only arguing heichad yomale in the following scenario, where asara kade shemen yesh li etzlach. He doesn't say asara kade mulein shemen. As Rashi says, he leaves out the word mulein. So I have 10 jugs of oil in your possession. That's what Reuven says to Shimon. Now, he doesn't say the jugs. So Admon Omer, Admon says, yesh b'loshon hazeh, loshon kankanim. Yes, this does imply the jugs as well. And therefore, Admon would say that if he admits to the jugs and not to the oil, it would be a modu b'mitzvahs taina. Whereas the Rabbanim Sari, no, ein b'loshon hazeh, this loshon of asara kadi shemen doesn't imply ein b'loshon hazeh, loshon kankanim. It doesn't have anything to do with kankanim. So if Shimon were to admit, I have your kankanim, that's not a modu b'mitzvahs taina. So this is the way you have to understand the Mishnah according to Rava. But based upon this, the implication would be elo taima the ein b'loshon hazeh, loshon kankanim. It's only because this loshon of asara Kadeh Shemen doesn't imply the Kadim according to the Chachamim, but that would imply Ho Yesh B'Loshon Hazeh Loshon Kankanim Chayiv. If it did include, such as he used the Loshon of Moleh, so then it would include the Kankanim, and you would have to say it's Chayiv Modim B'Mitzvahs if he agrees to the drugs but doesn't agree to the oil. So then let us say this is Leib Matevit Yuvda, the Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba. This should be a Tiyuvda to Rechiyah Bar Abba. The Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba, what do we say? Tanu Chitin Usarim, that if a person claimed, Reuven claimed from Shimon, hey, you owe me Chitim and you owe me Sarim, behold lo b'yachmi, and Shimon said, no, I only owe you the Chitim. Don't owe you Sarim, I only owe you Sarim, I don't owe you Chitim, that he would in fact be Potter. That's not a Modu B'Mixas. But here you see that it is an example of Modu B'Mixas if it was drugs and oil. So how come over here does Rechiyah Bar Abba say that you're Potter from a Shuah of Modu B'Mixas? The Chacham seemed to say that you would be Chayiv in this situation. So Amar Rishimi Barashi says, no, Rechiyah Bar Abba is okay. Nase kimisha shtano rimon bikli paso. The Mishnah here is as if it was saying, the person said, you owe me the rimon with its klipa. You owe me the pomegranate over here with its shell around it. So that is considered one item. That's not considered two items. And therefore, you're potter from modu b'mitzvahs if you say, I only owe you the rimon. And the Gemara says this is questionable because Maskel Ravina says Rimon below Klipaso lo mintar. The two are one and the same because the Rimon won't be protected if you don't have the Klipa with it. So you can't say here that it's two separate items. It's one intrinsic unit. So therefore, by the Rimon with the Klipa, that's one thing and there's no mode of a mixas. However, Shemen mintar below Kankanim. You can have the Shemen in the pit and it's perfectly well protected. It doesn't need the jugs of oil to protect it. So therefore, this question comes back on Rechiyah Bar Abba that this should be a tiyufta to him because he says you're potter in this situation, whereas the Chachamim in our Mishnah would say that you're chayiv if there's jugs and oil and you admit to the jugs but don't admit to the oil, you'll be chayiv l'mshua modim mixas. How come Rechiyah Bar Abba says in the case of chitin and sarin, if you only admit to one of them and not the other, you're potter from mshua modeh b'mikzas. So the Kashi returns on Rechiyah Bar Abba, and the Gemara says, therefore, Ela hocha v'mayaskin, and you know what we're talking about. In our Mishnah, it must be the Amalei where Reuven said to Shimon, "Asara kadeshayim kadeshemen yeshli eslcha." I have 10 jugs of oil of mine in your possession. And what does Shimon say? Shimon says, "Shemen lo hayudvar miolam." He says, "The shemen never happened. There's no such thing. It wasn't in this world. I never took your oil. However, the 10 jugs kankanim, that wasn't 10." Nami chamisha isloch, chamisha lesloch. 5 you gave me, but not 10. So in this situation, on the jugs is definitely a modu b'mitzvah. So Admon says, Admon Omer, yesh b'loshon hazeh, loshon kankanim. Certainly over here, there is a modu b'mitzvahs on the kankanim. Reuven says, you owe me 10 jugs, and Shimon says, I only owe you 5. So that's a modu b'mitzvahs. Once you do a shvuas modu b'mitzvah, d'oraisa, umigo, deko mishtaba akankanim, mishtaba nami ashemen, Ayadei Gilgul. Admon says in this situation, we do what's called the Gilgul Shvuah. Once a person is obligated to make a Shvuah, so then the Chacham and the Beis Din can say, well, while you're already swearing, swear about this as well. So he's mechuyev to make according to Admon's understanding here, Ashua Moda B'Miktas on the 5 versus the 10 Kankanim. So that's Ashua Daraisa that he's obligated to do. And the Beis Din is going to say, now, once you already have to make the Ashua Moda B'Miktas on the 5 Kankanim instead of 10, so then throw into it what's called Gilgul Shua, will also make you go and make a Shua about the oil which you're totally denying and which technically you shouldn't have to make a Shua for. That's Admon's opinion. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. What do the Rabbanim say? Why don't the Rabbanim hold like that? Rabbanim Sabri, no. Ain b'loshin hazeh loshin kankanim. When he says the 10 jugs of oil, Reuven says asara kadishem yesh liyazlecha. He's not talking about jugs at all. He's just talking about oil. And therefore, ma shetano lohodlo, the oil. Reuven says, you have my oil, and Shimon says, no, I don't. So that's not a mode that makes us. And he says, but I do have 5 of your jugs. Reuven didn't ask him for 5 jugs. Ma shahodlo lohotano. He never was towing the 5 jugs that Shimon is admitting to, and therefore it's not considered a mode of a mixer situation. So that's why the Chachamim say it's not a mode of a mixer situation, and Admon says that it is a mode of a mixer situation, and therefore it's not a kasha on Ruchia Bar Abba, who says that you're putter in the case of Chitin and Saorin, because it's not a mode of a mixer situation. It's two separate things, and therefore, so in that situation, it's two separate things, and no kasha or kriya ba'aba. And this concludes our understanding of the Mishnah as well as today's shir. It's Hashem. We'll pick up with the third of Admon versus the Chachamim's cases in the next Mishnah on the last line of this daf. Everybody should have, I'm dictating this on Hoshana Rabbah, everybody should have a good kvittel. They should have, Mitzvah Hashem, all of their desires fulfilled, all the good things that they requested from HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be fulfilled. And Mitzvah Hashem, everybody should have a wonderful Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah.